Good morning. Hello out there. Woohoo! Yes, I feel like I'm actually doing my yoga while I'm sitting here. My breathing. I'm going to do a cross crawl in a minute.
Or floating.
Yeah. Welcome to the original Loretta Brown Show Radio to open the heart, heal the soul, and awaken the consciousness. And I'm only doing that because last week I was like, you know, sometimes I was like, what am I trying to say, right?
Yeah, you got through it, okay?
I did. And it was cool.
It was rad. Yeah! You went to the 80s.
It was boss.
Yeah, that way further back. Try to come up with adjectives.
What do they say nowadays?
The kids are doing things all over the place. I'm speaking for kids, like I'm 42, so it's like, yeah, I feel like I'm still young, but.
We are. Hey.
You're right. No, you're right. That's you're absolutely right. I apologize.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah, it changes a lot. And way back they said things like, wow, that's groovy, man. Right?
Which you're like, you are so old.
I think my older brothers and sisters said that. Yeah. Yeah. That's what it was.
Although we don't say old. We say, you know, experienced.
Experienced.
Age to perfection. Those things.
Yeah. We just get better. You know,
yeah, with age.
We do. We get better and better and better.
Youngsters have no idea what they're talking about. They haven't lived the life. Now when I start saying that, I'm like, oh, that's what they mean. Because I'm going through that now.
Yeah, right? Somebody, I think on my Facebook page, was talking the other day about, youngsters, as they say.
Those youngsters.
She's older, right? But I think it's people in their 20s or whatever. Somebody in her family that was younger, she says, wow, they just think they know it all. She goes, boy, I wish I could go back to where I knew it all.
Right?
Right now,
I have 8-year-olds, so
yeah,
that's
exactly.
A little too far back, but they think they know everything.
They do.
Yeah.
Actually, they might be more connected than we are. Anyway, I hope you're having a great, great morning. I am Loretta Brown. I've got a great guest today. You are going to want to hang on, especially because just knowing she's going to be on the show has made my energy flow better. I really mean it. I'm not just making fun. I am the owner of Reiki Oasis. We've been around, 23 years or something like that. Anyway, I've got a Reiki 1 class coming up June 1st. If you want to be a part of that, please go to schedule.reikioasis.com for all the classes and to make the schedule. And as always, I am booked a ways out, so be patient with that. Temple of the Divine Feminine, the monthly class for women, is going to be the last Saturday of this month because we've got Easter in there. And I don't want to mess around with family time and Easter, so we'll be meeting on Saturday, April 27th for our fantastic class where we talk about all things feminine. Yeah, we talk about everything.
Did you do the old egg hunting back in the day?
I did.
Did you ever or see witness of the Easter Bunny somewhere? Or did you just know?
I never actually
came by.
Saw the Easter Bunny.
So my mom did. Well, let's back this up. She helped with the Easter Bunny.
She helped with.
Uh-huh. Helped him out. And so we'd wake up and we see little tracks all over the carpet. And so, okay, if there's kids listening, parents cover their ears. She did it with little things of flour. She'd dip her fingers in two things of flour.
Oh, like
and
that.
And then put them on the carpet, but not on the hardwood floors, just on the carpet, and would bounce all around the house. And we were like, what? How is this possible?
That's great.
And then I had to find the circumference of my head one day, too, because it was a math thing, and I couldn't find the eggs until I had to find that out.
The circumference of your head.
It was a rough year that year for me. She thought it would be funny. We still laugh about it.
I think that is funny.
So my sister got to get a chance to find all the eggs. This is why she did it.
Did your sister have to find the circumference of her?
No.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Just me.
Just you.
That's what I'm saying.
That seems really unfair.
It's devious.
It is.
But it was still fun. And later, the adults, we hide mini bottles all over, and then they find them. That's fun, too.
I think that's funny. I do remember that. On more than one occasion, we didn't find all the eggs until they got smelly later on.
That's usually the best way to find them, too. Mm-hmm. We used to poke the hole in each end and then blow out all the egg and use it, and then so the eggs would be hollow.
Oh.
So it's a little more difficult that way, but that's another way of doing it, too.
Yeah, that's another way of doing it, so that they don't end up being rotten eggs.
They can be not as bad, let's just say, because you still got little remnants in there. But
I think all of that is super fun.
Oh, of course.
And decorating the eggs is always a big deal. And You know, of course, nowadays they have all kinds of cheat sheets, I call them, for the eggs.
Cheat sheets? What?
Things that you can just put on the eggs or...
Oh, I see what you mean.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to just decorate them, and that's the fun part.
Yeah, we still do that with our boys. We still do the dyes. Mm-hmm. You know, now there's different, like, packs you can get and put, like, wax crayons. And
yeah,
so
wax crayons.
You
yeah,
write on them, cool. And you don't see the wax until you dip them. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's like invisible ink.
Totally.
Which was the other thing we loved. Mm-hmm. Writing letters, notes with invisible ink.
Yeah, some of my boys have gotten a little bit crazy with their writings. I'm like, we can't put those eggs out.
Oh, is that right?
They're trying to be funny.
Yeah.
They put, like, you know, stinky butt on
there.
I'm like, we're not going to put that out.
We're not
going
to put that out there.
There's three-year-olds.
Kids do that kind of thing, though, you know, because they
pushing.
Realize. Yeah, they're that's what they do.
They love their limits.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they love it. So anyway, yeah, Easter's coming up.
Yep.
We have a lot of good stuff coming up. I'm going to talk about astrology really, really quick because yesterday, April 10th, Jupiter entered retrograde until August 11th, which is like what? What is that, 4 months?
Yeah.
But Jupiter has been in its ruling sign of Sagittarius since November of last year. And when it's in its home sign, Jupiter expresses its brightest, purest, and best energy. And we've all been benefiting from it in some way. Now, Jupiter is sometimes called the lucky planet, and it represents abundance and expansion. And I hope that's expansion of life, not your waistline, right? Got to be careful about that one. It has the ability to magnify things in our lives in order for us to see the gifts and rewards and understand the bigger picture and even find the silver lining of those events that may not seem so wonderful on the surface. So with Jupiter in retrograde, it is a time for us to go back, because the retrogrades always say, hey, take a look back. But with Jupiter, we want to look over the messages that Jupiter has brought our way to ensure that we have not missed out on or forgotten some of the gifts or the bounties that Jupiter may have been offering us. Now, if we've been lacking energy, we've been lacking creativity, inspiration, or motivation, anybody having problems with that over the winter, believe it or not, Jupiter retrograde may be exactly what you need to get yourself moving again, especially as you surrender your expectations of the ego of what all of that was about, so you can receive the gifts that are meant for you. So Jupiter going retrograde helps us look back at events, and I recommend that you do what you can to find the silver lining and hopefully change your mindset. Now, I got to be honest with you. I've had a lot of things happening in my life over the last 6 months, and it can be really hard when you look at these events to get past either your anger, your frustration, or your why me attitude. Like, how come those people over there are doing great and look at me, right?
Why me?
Has that been going
on? Just
like
that? Just like that?
Yeah, just like that. Just like that.
Why?
Exactly right. Why me?
Their life is so amazing.
Is so amazing. Look at them. And I always go, you know what? You never really know what's going on over there. And the other thing is that sometimes if we can just, I don't know, surrender it up a little bit, kind of step into it and say, well, what is there something good that came out of that?
Yeah.
Well, I quite often find, you know, like I don't always make the decision. I'm going to say I don't always make the best decision. I think I am in the moment, right?
Yeah.
I think I know
what
it all.
You truly believe in.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And then I'll end up someplace and I'll go, wow, I would never have gotten here if life would not have gone in that direction.
Yeah. And we also cannot compare ourselves to others. We always see, like, you know, it's always the duck on top of the water, all smooth and silk across the top, and then underneath, flapping his little feet away. Because, you know, it's that much difficult.
I love that analogy.
Well, it's kind of
Benny,
true.
No, that's a perfect analogy.
But yet, they just look like that.
Yeah.
But they're probably doing just what we're doing.
That's right.
We're the ducks under the water, though.
With those feet going
we're
like
scrambling.
Crazy. We're scrambling.
We're looking for the food.
Yeah, we are.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that also brings up what I think is one of the most important things in life, and that is to be kind to each other. just because that person is all dressed up or they've got a smile on their face does not mean that everything underneath the surface is all hunky-dory, right? You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's right. So if we could be a little bit more forgiving and, you know, begin with yourself, you know, be kind, you know, one of the Reiki principles, you know, be kind to every living creature and begin that with yourself. Remember that you don't have to climb Mount Everest or win a gold medal. You don't have to be the grand poobah of all poobahs to succeed in life. A successful life is one that actually feels good to you, no matter what that might look like from the outside. And by the way, if you're here on Earth and you're breathing, you're doing pretty good. You just need to align with the truth that all of us are here for a really, really wonderful reason. And I was telling somebody yesterday, I said, you know, I get asked a lot, Loretta, what is my purpose? What is my destiny? What do my angels and guides say about that? And quite often they say, you just have absolutely no idea how your mere presence on planet Earth is making a difference. And I always think of it like a grand orchestra. And, you know, we need every single instrument from you know, the great big huge instruments or the violins or the tubas all the way down to the triangle. Your mere presence, your vibration, your energy, your frequency is unique and beautiful to you and is really making a difference on planet Earth. And one day you may be able to really understand that better. I also want to put a little shout out. I am taking a trip to Egypt in October, October 2nd through 16th. And every year I take a trip and I take people with me. If you're interested in that, contact me, Loretta Brown, through ReikiOasis@gmail.com. And now I'd like to bring my guest on because she's been patiently waiting in the background. And I don't think she's paddling her feet like those ducks, but she might be. I don't know.
No.
We'll
check
find
in
out.
And find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
She's totally boss, though.
She is. She's awesome. My guest today is Lauren Walker. She has been teaching yoga since 1997. She is a certified energy practitioner and has worked with Donna Eden. And Lauren is the author of Energy Medicine Yoga, Amplifying the Healing Power of Your Yoga Practice, as well as the Energy Medicine Yoga Prescription. Both books have won the Nautilus Silver Award for Best Mind-Body Book. And Lauren has also been named one of the top 100 most influential yoga teachers in the United States. So welcome to the show, Lauren. I just feel your fresh energy just instantly. It's awesome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. It's nice to be in Seattle.
Yes, we need that. Yeah. I would like to set out a little bit of groundwork for the listeners. For those that may or may not know who you are, can you give us a little bit of a brief introduction to yourself? And that's a broad question. You know, I realize it's a broad question. So start in anywhere that you would like, because I always feel like people are somehow inspired to share their story.
Yeah, I would love to. So let's see. I was practicing yoga for many, many years and teaching yoga, about a decade, a little more even, when I kind of had a difficult year. I call it my lemony snicket year. It was kept unfortunate event after another. And I ended up leaving my yoga studio, leaving the town that I lived in, and actually leaving the United States altogether. I moved up to Canada. And in the span of a month, someone in the United States and someone in Canada introduced me to the work of Donna Eden. And I had taken a large break from teaching yoga. I was really disillusioned with the yoga world and where it was going and my role in it, my place in it. And this was just at the start of that. I didn't realize how long a break I was going to take from it. I still was practicing yoga, but I wasn't teaching. And I met Donna, and I went down the rabbit hole. Her work is so powerful and so profound. She's the creator of Eden Energy Medicine, and I'm a certified practitioner. And I started studying with her and traveling with her and just learning as much as I could about this energy work, which, although energy is in yoga, it's not really taught in such an overt way. And so I didn't really have the understanding of energy that I do now. And Donna's work is so accessible and so powerful and so easy. And I just started using it in my daily yoga practice. I would sort of layer it in. And the results that I had healing my own physical issues and at that time more of my sort of spiritual disconnection and the grief and trauma that I was going through. And the results that I had were pretty powerful. And when I finally did go back to teaching yoga, it was at a military university, which is not really where you think of when you think of yoga. And that was a really profound experience for me, seeing how this work was helping this group of students who were basically training to go off to war, to keep them centered and grounded and whole, to be able to face these incredibly challenging experiences. And after that time at Norwich University, I really felt a shift in what I was doing. It just became clear to me that this was more than just something that I did in my own practice and more than a couple of moves that I could share. It was actually an entire system. And I kind of wrote it down and codified it and showed it to Donna, and she was pretty blown away too. And fast forward, here we are.
Wow. I love your story. Absolutely love your story. Number one, I love Donna Eden. I think she's a walking master on the planet. Like, I don't even know how to quantify that, right? She's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. She really is a living master. That's how I refer to her. She's a true master and one of the most compassionate, open-hearted, generous souls that you will ever meet. She's really remarkable.
Yeah, she's bringing a great work. And I'm also hearing woven in what you're saying that, and I love this. This is what I love about your story, that you followed your own life path. You're following the challenges in your life, which helped you bring to this planet something that you came here to bring. You know, this is your destiny. This is your dharma, your karma, and your joy is what I get.
It definitely was birthed from a very natural experience and continues to be. You know, I'm working on my third book right now, which is about trauma, and it was never anything that I wanted to write about or spend time, you know, in the thick of. But, of course, everybody goes through trauma and challenges, suffering and grief. And the work that I did to overcome my suffering and trauma and grief was so helpful to so many other people that they were like, you got to write this down. So it continues to be a very experiential practice that is healing me and my students. And then from that, goes out to a larger, hopefully larger and larger community, because the work is so simple and so profound.
Wow, I'm so glad to hear you saying you're putting something out about trauma. I just give you a big thumbs up. I got goosebumps on that. I just think the majority of people are highly traumatized, and we really need it.
Yeah,
very much need it. And the other thing is that a lot of people are so disconnected from their bodies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what it is that can happen through the body. I want to talk a little bit about what is energy medicine? Can you define that for people a little bit?
And sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, it's a really large topic, because energy medicine is kind of woven into a lot of things that we think or don't think of, both esoterically and mainstream. So, I mean, if you go get an MRI, that's energy medicine, a CAT scan. If you go get an ultrasound, that is exactly energy medicine. It's using, you know, sound and vibration to diagnose or treat different symptoms. And so it's all around us. You know, a lot of people go get acupuncture. That's energy medicine. So anything that works with the energetic system of the body in a healing or diagnostic capacity could be considered energy medicine. So you talked about being a Reiki practitioner. That's absolutely energy medicine. Anything that works with, like I said, the energetic system of the body. What's so interesting, what I found so fascinating about Donna's work, and I'm a level 2 Reiki practitioner, and I've had acupuncture, although it's not my favorite modality. It's very, very powerful. And so I've had, you know, exposure to all of these things. And certainly in the yoga community, chakras are big. That's the big energy system that that the yogis use. But what I found was so fascinating about Donna's work is that she wove them all together, which is the way that energy works in the body. So you don't only work with your chakras or only work with your meridians or only work with your aura or only work with your chi or your prana in a more diffuse, generalized way. You work with all of those things together, but you're not, you know, it's not like you're doing things haphazardly. It's an integrated program. So as you work with one particular part of, say, your aura or, say, a meridian system, the way that we're working is influencing and affecting all of these other energy systems at the same time, just how they work in the physical body. So you really do increase the efficacy of it because you're not taking one thing out and working with that exclusively. Mm. You're working with it the way it works and learning the language of energy, which is so powerful.
I like what you're saying. You're right. A lot of people will take out one section of that, not realizing everything affects everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so that, exactly. That holistic mind-body approach, I suppose you might say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So discovering or connecting to our energies then are very important. It's a question.
It is the most important thing, actually. Okay. If you want to be healthy, live long without issues, you want to thrive in your life, you want to manifest what you want and draw into your life what you want, you want to be content just as you are right now, you want to feel good about yourself, have good relationships, all of those things that we want that make our lives juicy and vibrant and fun and joyful and meaningful, underneath all of those is energy, because energy is all there is. So if your substrate, if the substance upon which everything operates is in harmony and cohesive and coherent, then everything above it must be, by the rules and laws of energy, must be coherent and harmonious. And so then you get to where I'm going with that.
Mm-hmm.
If in your life things are not going great, if you are having relationship issues or struggles at work, or you don't know what your life path is, or you're sick or ill or depressed or any of those things, you can work on that specific one thing. But the truth is, underlying that is your energy, and your energy is out of balance if it's appearing in your life that there is something out of balance. And generally, it kind of works hand in hand. It's both easier to work with your energy than the work with the physical body, but it's also paramount. It's also more important, or not more important, but it is important to start there, because the root cause of everything in the body and the mind and the spirit is your energy.
So working, the reflection of life. Yeah, exactly.
Right?
If it's not good out there, yeah, there's something going on in here.
Exactly.
And so if you change this in here by working with the energy, that can help move through you what needs to move or get it going in a different direction, which will affect your life.
And affect your life in ways that, you know, we can't really grasp, because we're so linear thinking,
mm-hmm.
that it's hard for us to understand that if I do this one thing energetically, how does that have an outcome in, say, my relationships or my stress levels or the time in my day? But the truth of the matter is, and again, this concept is so hard to understand, that everything is energy. That's it, because, you know, you're sitting in your house right now and you're looking at your legs and you're like, those look pretty solid, and I see the couch, that looks pretty solid, those walls look solid, the dog just walked by, he looks pretty solid. So it's hard to understand. Actually, that's all just vibration, vibrational patterns, light and sound moving through fields of vibration. Mm-hmm. And so that piece is difficult to grasp, but once you grasp that, then you understand, oh, okay, everything's energy. If I go in and tweak and move and smooth and organize and harmonize the energy, then everything else starts to shift. And I don't need to know the hows and whys, because once your life starts to get better, you're like, well, this is great. It doesn't matter to me that I worked with my chakras and my auras, or, you know, what it was, I feel great, and I'm going to keep doing these same things that have made me feel great.
You know, I've talked a lot with several of my guests about, you know, the interaction we have with, call it whatever you want, the quantum field. For me, it's a vibrational resonance. Like, if I'm vibrating a certain way, then life will vibrate. I'm either in resonance with that or I am not, mm-hmm. which, you know, because I'm a musical person. Mm-hmm. That to me fits in with what you're saying. That,
absolutely. We affect our environment, and we are affected by our environment, which is why things, your environment is so important. How you, what you're surrounded with, the toxins or the non-toxins preferably that you are surrounded with in your environment affect your health and vitality, but even just the people in your life and the people that you come in contact with, whether they're intimates or friends or even strangers, their energy affects your energy as well. And so it's really, it's kind of cool once you get this perspective that everything is energy and you start to learn some of the language of energy, you see the world in a completely different way. And it's much more, it's very calming. Because the world today is not so calming. And so if you have a lens to look at the world that makes it less personal and less destructive and stress-inducing, then I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. I have so many questions. This is Loretta Brown. My guest today is Lauren Walker, and I have here her beautiful book, The Energy Medicine Yoga Prescription. I'll show it to you guys watching on live YouTube. Right there. Is that the camera? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Benny's got to tell me which one it is. And we're going to take a station break. We are talking about the combination of energy medicine and yoga, and we will be right back.
Did you know that Reiki healing can be done at a distance? It's true. So let Reiki Oasis focus powerful energy to help relieve your stress, grief, sadness, anger, and so much more. Convenient, personalized treatments at a distance can increase lightness of being. During your appointment, find a quiet place to lie down or sit to receive healing energies. If you want help with your dis-ease, visit ReikiOasis.com. Harness life's energy. Visit ReikiOasis.com today.
New message.
Department of the Social Security Administration. The reason of this call is to inform you that your Social Security number has been suspended for suspicion of illegal activity. If you do not contact us immediately, your account will be deactivated. For more information about this case file, press 1 or call immediately our department number. 326.
This is a scam. Thieves are misusing the Social Security Administration's authority and phone schemes to trick you into giving them money or personal information. They state there is a problem with your Social Security number or account. They claim there's been suspicious or fraudulent activity, and you could be arrested or face other legal action. They even spoof SSA's main customer service telephone number on caller ID. Don't believe them. Don't provide any information. SSA employees will never threaten you for information or promise benefits in exchange for information. In those cases, the call is fraudulent. Just hang up. If you suspect you've been contacted by an SSA scammer, call the Social Security Fraud Hotline at 1-800-269-0271.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 AM. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 Channel 3.
So many ways to listen.
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
Bored with the other stations hammering away on the same old talking points? Try Alternative Talk 1150 and get some variety.
Welcome back to the original Loretta Brown Show. And this is Loretta Brown. My guest today is Lauren Walker. She is a certified energy medicine practitioner, author of Energy Medicine Yoga, Amplify the Healing Power of Your Yoga Practice, and the Energy Medicine Yoga Prescription. You probably should just go and get these books right now. Just do it. They're beautiful. I'm laughing because I've got her Energy Medicine Yoga Prescription book here, and if you can see it, you can see I already have it tabbed, and I already have it. I already got it tabbed. It's a beautiful book, and oh, It's got illustrations, my favorite type of books. Just saying. Thanks, Laura, Lauren, for those illustrations in your book.
Well, sometimes I can see she agrees with, you know, you want to get into the proper pretzel. So
yeah, exactly.
Well, it's actually, no, I have to jump in and say that this is not a pretzel yoga practice.
Phew, okay.
This is not about one-arm handstand or flying side crow or any of that stuff, which are super fun to do in yoga classes, don't get me wrong. But this practice is really about healing and deepening your energetic connection and understanding of that. And if you are an acrobatic yogi, if that's the kind of yoga you like, you can weave these practices in and you'll only get stronger and more flexible. But if you're not an acrobatic yogi, and I am not at all, and I'm not super flexible, then you'll love this practice because it really is about giving you that tactile integration with your own energy. And it's not esoteric at all. Energy is, it's right there. It is in your body, on your body, around your body. And right away, when you jump into this book and start doing these practices, you will feel your energy. Some of you will start to see it, and you will experience it right away. So don't be afraid. Don't think that this is some kind of woo-woo out there. That's what I love about Donna's work. There's nothing woo-woo about it. It is right there at the tip of your fingers and ready for action.
I love that. Thanks for that clarification, because I was actually going to ask you, you know, you call your, I don't know if you want to call it your practice, your method, you call it EM yoga, right?
Yeah.
And, EM yoga. And you just said that this can be woven into any yoga practice.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. It's, you know, you don't have to drop what you're doing and pick something up new. If you already have a yoga practice, then this book, you'll grab it and it'll be easy. You'll just dive in and you'll say, okay, I do that pose. Now I'm going to do that pose with that energy practice as part of it. And once you start to do that, you're like, how did I ever do cobblers without the source points for spleen and kidney? You know, you're just, it'll become so second nature to you. And the results that you'll see in your health will become so profound that that's what happens over and over again to my students. They start this practice and they're like, every yoga practice needs to include this. How is that not being done? So you'll see once you start to pull this out and weave it into whatever kind of practice you already do, how intuitive it is and how easy it is to just bring these practices into any kind of yoga.
Wow. So I would imagine that, and, you know, if I'm putting words in your mouth, forgive me, but I would imagine the idea would be, why not have this in every yoga studio? Why not incorporated into everything that people are doing?
100%. Those are the words. You spread them far and wide. Absolutely. I mean, that is my ultimate goal, that every studio in the country has EM yoga classes and has EM yoga woven in and has at the very baseline doing the wake up before any yoga class. Because if your energy isn't awake, moving forward and crossing over, then you're working at a 50% capacity. And so if you're doing a regular yoga class and you haven't gotten your energies into the very baseline of cohesiveness, then your practice is kind of half sticking and half not sticking. And with anything else, you know, your tennis class or your, you know, that interview or any of those things, if your energy isn't aligned, nothing else can really be aligned above that.
You said a couple of things there. I'm just jotted them down really quick. You said something about if your energy is not moving forward and crossing over. Mm-hmm. And then you use the words cohesiveness and aligned.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, I know some people are going, what did she just say? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, your energy runs in patterns in the body, and it has very specific patterns that are the same in every body. Like, so if you've had acupuncture and you know the meridian lines or you know about them, right, those are sort of like the roads of energy in the body. And they run in specific directions and they, you know, cross here and go there. And every energy system has a very specific pattern that it runs in. But energy also has the potential to do all kinds of things. So it has the potential to run forward. It also has the potential to run backwards. And oftentimes, if you're tired or you're sick or you're depressed, what often is the case, I hate to say always, but 99% of the time, especially if you're sick, is that your energy is running backwards. Mm. So that means you walk forward and you get tired because your energy is going the opposite direction that you are going in. And the same thing as well is your energy needs to cross over. So you think about it writ large, the brain, the hemispheres of the brain operate opposite sides of the body. And everything in the body works on that spiraling crossover pattern all the way down to your DNA. And so that's the most organized and efficient way for energy to move in the body is in this crossover pattern and necessary for the energy to be healthy. And so if your energy isn't crossing over, again, it's draining your energy, draining your vitality. And so if you're sick and you can't get well or you're depressed and you can't get over it and you can't release it, you know, you can do a million things, but if your energy is backwards and running in parallel lines, what we call homolateral, instead of crossing over, then you can't get well. That is the root cause of every disease pattern in the body, is that energy isn't crossing over and isn't moving forward.
Oh, wow.
And the wake-up technique that's in both of my books, and you can find YouTube videos all over the place, and that the book that we're talking about today has an hour of free embedded video with it, so you can find it in those videos. The wake-up technique takes, I don't know, 2 minutes tops, and it starts to get your energy awake, moving forward, and crossing over. And that's just the very baseline. You just have to do that in order for anything else to start to resolve or start to get better and all of these other, you know, if you've got some illness that you're working with and you're doing all kinds of alternative things, nothing is really going to stick and transform that disease pattern if the energy isn't working for you and with you.
That's a powerful statement, Lauren, and I'm just sitting here thinking, you just said it just takes 2 minutes to get the energy moving forward and to get it crossing the body. Mm-hmm. And if you would, could you please describe, maybe on the radio show, like, what is your wake up?
Wake up is, it's a series of four different techniques that you do. You can do it standing, you can do it sitting, you can do it lying in bed, and it's activating these energy systems of the body. So it's thumping on different points of the body to get them to wake up and move forward, and then pulling these energies across the body, what we call a cross crawl, and then ensuring that it stays there. So we do a zip up and a hook up. We draw the energy up the body, and then we kind of lock it in. And if people are suffering from any kind of chronic diseases or illnesses or depression or fatigue, chances are you'll need to do this little pattern several times during the day because mm-hmm. our energy forms mm-hmm. habits. And so the reason it's so difficult to quit smoking isn't because you have not enough willpower or even because nicotine is highly addictive. Underneath that, you have an energy pattern, and that energy pattern is in a particular habit. And so if you're sick or depressed or something like that, your energy is in a habit of being in that place. And so you'll have to do the wake up a bunch of times during the day to start to get that energy to shift and to form a new habit. And that's the promise and beauty of energy work, is that it's easier than your willpower, and it can shift, and you can repattern it.
I'm chuckling a little bit because you know how we are. We will resist the very simple thing that if we just did it, we'd be fine, right? The energy it takes to resist and the time it takes, it's like you could have just done it by then.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. And, you know, part of that, again, is the energy being stuck. And then in our minds, we get mm-hmm. stuck. And so oftentimes for new practitioners or students or even just curious folks, they're like, what is this? I'll just say, do the wake up every day for 30 days. And write it down so that you commit to doing it, and you have that contract with yourself that you're going to do this every day. And it doesn't matter what time of day. It's great if you do it in the morning, but if you forget, doesn't matter. And you do it every day. Usually, I get calls or emails around day 7, 8, 11, where people are like, "Wow, this is changing my life just by doing this little teeny thing. This is changing my life. I have more energy. I jump out of bed in the mornings. I'm less grouchy, My relationships are getting better. I'm not annoyed at people. I'm working more efficiently. I mean, like, literally from doing this little teeny thing. And that's when the converts start, you know, pouring into my classes and my trainings and all of that, because they see that it's just the most efficient way of working with everything. And so why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you do the most efficient? I'm basically a lazy person. Like, really, I joke about that, but it's really true. I want the most benefit for the least amount of work. Uh-huh. And when I found energy medicine and then started putting it into the yoga practice, I was like, well, there it is. You got what you needed.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, I have kind of a little personal mantra. And when I find myself in resistance, I just say to myself, don't you want to be better? You know, come on. Don't you want to be better? And sometimes the answer is no.
that can sound kind of berating, you know, and Pema Chodron talks about that, you know, that our desire for self-improvement can actually be a subtle form of abuse to the self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, mm-hmm. don't you want to be better? But then some voice in your head says, well, why aren't you fine just as you are?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's mm-hmm. a big problem, especially for women, because we can always, we pick ourselves apart. Society picks ourselves apart, you know, magazines, the whole culture. And so if we start to buy into that, like, don't you want to be better? I think it can backfire, especially if we've had upbringings where we've had a lot of criticism. And it can really, for me, that makes me want to either fight back and start swearing, which I won't do online right now, but, you know, or I'm just like, you know what, I don't care, I'm over it. And then I crawl into sort of a depression. Whereas if I am more generous and open-hearted with myself, and instead of, like, don't you want to be better, it's like, this is going to feel so good. Like, you could have a big ice cream pie right now, or you could do this, and they're both going to make you feel really good. So try this one, because you did the ice cream pie yesterday. Like, so maybe try this one. And so instead of being, you know, like that sort of subtle abuse to the self, mm-hmm. it's like, what would you say to your best friend if she was feeling down? Like, hey, come on, let's go for a walk. It's so beautiful out. So I like to speak with myself in those kind of tones instead of being mean, because my inner voices can be mean and people yeah. outside me can be mean. And so I want to start to pattern the energy of kindness. And I feel from that place, people are more inclined to do things of transformation and of change.
Well, and I so agree with that because, you know, and you hit right on it. My point of bringing that up was we have these internal voices mm-hmm. and who knows whose voices they are.
Right.
And with this practice, though, and I was sitting with this, you know, the idea that you were talking about before the break, that if we've got something in our life that's not the way that we want it, it's not in balance, it's not centered, it's not, you know, whatever you want to call it, that there's actually specific things we can do
mm-hmm.
that in our body, in our energy field, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to actually change that. That to me is so powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is, especially when we're talking about sickness that's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
Or habit fields. I mean, we actually have an energy system that holds our habits to us. And that's why it's so hard to stay on a diet or to quit something or to start something new, because we have a habit field and it actually doesn't want you to change. So think about that. There's an energy system in your body that resists change. So you can have the best of intentions. I'm going to do a green smoothie every morning. Then I'm going to go to yoga class. I'm going to journal. I'm going to do my gratitude practice. You can have the best intentions, but you have this system that says, nope, you're not doing any of that. You're alive. That's all we care about. And it resists any kind of change. And so you can use your willpower as strong and as hard as you like. Or you could work with your energy, which is so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then you change your patterns and your habits from the energetic perspective, and then, again, the habits on the physical body and in the intellectual body, right, those habits of voices in our head, those all start to change.
So it can work directly with, because I'm thinking about emotions and I'm thinking about what we store in the internal organs, thinking about our mental habits, like EM yoga actually, it can affect all of that.
Absolutely. It's actually, that's a huge component of this book is working with the emotions.
Uh-huh.
And there's a direct connection between the emotions in the physical body, and they affect, your emotions affect your physical body, and your physical body affect your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And the practices in this book work directly with the emotions, so you can kind of get at them either way. You can either work with and release your emotions through the physical body, or with the emotions, release the emotions and release the residuals of those in the physical body. So you can kind of go either side of it. But we absolutely need to work with our emotions, and continually, like a daily practice. And the daily practice for that is in that book and in that video that comes with the book. But it's really, it takes it out of, like, it's not therapy. You're not there on the mat, like, writing, you know, oh, my God, this is what happened to me when I was little, or this is what happened to me last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's not therapy like that. You're not working on your mind with your mind. You're working to release these emotions that haven't been processed, haven't been released, through very specific, directed physical poses, sounds, different journaling exercises that are very directed. So it's much easier, I think, than going to therapy and talking everything through, which kind of brings it all up again. And so you're kind of, you can be a sobbing mess and like, that was great. And I just paid $150 for that. Huh? You know?
Yeah. Thanks. Because I was actually thinking, what does an EM yoga class look like, you know? And, I suppose the answer, I'll let you answer that. It probably looks like a lot of things.
It does. It really does, depending on what your focus is. So, you know, in this book, you can focus on one of the five elements, so wood, water, fire, earth, or metal, and that practice will be very specific to that, those emotions and those organs that those elements govern. And you can do practices. We're developing a whole library of classes that'll be up on the website by the end of the fall. You know, we've got pro-aging classes, chair yoga, teen yoga. There's so many different ways. You know, it's amazing to me, because when I first started this, I thought, oh, we've got the wake up. Okay, that's one thing. We'll just do that before a yoga class. But the truth is, again, once you understand that energy is all there is, any kind of energetic outcome that you're looking for, you can design a very specific class around.
Mm.
So if you're having an emotional issue, you design the class around that. If you're having a physical issue, you design the class around that. If you want to manifest and bring something into your life, you draw the class around that. And so we've got quite a lot of those. And then you can work yourself, especially if you're a yoga practitioner, yoga teacher, you can start to design your own classes for whatever you specifically need. And I've got a couple of online courses right now on Daily Om, where you build a practice for yourself 1 minute at a time. And by the end of the class, I think it's an 8-week class, you've got, you know, a 20-minute practice that's specific for you.
I love that. So Daily Om, I'm just repeating that for people. You can go to Daily Om. Yeah, you've got a couple of courses with Lauren Walker and her energy medicine yoga prescription. That's a really easy way to access that. And then once again, I'm just telling people, you've got lots of great YouTubes out there. You've got a great website. And I have a couple of questions, because I get asked about this all the time. Can people lose weight with EM yoga? Will it help with that?
So that's a sticky one for me to answer.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you, I'll give you the short and the medium answer. The short answer is absolutely. The medium and longer answer is, I'm really cautious around that weight issue, because, again, I think it goes to that subtle aggression against ourselves. Most people actually don't need to lose weight. We need to come into acceptance of how we are in our bodies as they are. And there's a whole section in the back of that book on diet and nutrition and eating Ayurvedically. And one of the Ayurvedic principles of eating is 3 meals a day, no snacks. And one of the things that does is it regulates the digestive system. And in Ayurveda, all disease starts in the digestive system. And so you want to have a healthy digestive system. And what happens when you start to eat 3 meals a day, no snacks, and things start to re-regulate and your body starts to burn fat for stored energy, which is how it's built to do, your body finds its own perfect natural weight. And everybody has that. You can call it the set point or whatever. You've got this weight where the body is at its most healthy, most resilient. And most of the time, that is a few extra pounds than people would want to look based on, again, that the cultural norm and, you know, the magazine pictures. But what we talk about in our body image classes and a lot of it is about acceptance and love for yourself just as you are right now. And the question really is, do you want to be super skinny or do you want to be healthy? If you had to make that decision, you could be super skinny, your ideal weight, or you could be healthy. And most people, when they strip away the ego piece of it that's really wrapped up in what the society thinks, most people really want to be healthy. And so, yes, there are some of us that could drop a couple pounds, and eating that Ayurvedic way, 3 meals a day, no snacks, you will lose that weight if you need to lose that weight. It's also been proven to help depression, that 3 meals a day, no snacks eating paradigm. And so you can lose weight. You can do some of these reprogramming of the unconscious mind, a habit field, because your weight and your set point is also a habit, so you can reset those. So absolutely, you can transform and change anything. But I always caution people, women especially, mm-hmm. To me it's more important that you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so important what your weight is. Are you happy? Are you healthy? Are you strong? Can you get sick and then get well easily? And, you know, it's often the ones that have a little bit more weight and strength in them that have more vitality and stamina. And so it's important to see what you're actually going for.
I love that answer. Very, very good answer. I agree. We love ourselves. And I think we're over-focused many times on weight and height charts or something. And, yeah. and this idea that, let's get more in tune with our own self and what it is that makes sense. And if you just do the wake up, you know, you'll go a long ways that way. We have just a few minutes left, but do you have a success story that you can share with us about somebody that has worked with your EM yoga prescription book? Do you have any kind of thing like that you can share with us?
Oh, man, I have so many of those miracle stories. And, you know, I think about that now when, you know, I was at a real crossroads when I met Donna. And I could have gone deeper into straight yoga studies. And I've studied with amazing yoga teachers. But with Donna, it was like, do you go towards the yoga or do you go towards the miracle? And I went towards the miracle. Donna healed herself of MS when the doctors had given up on her. So that was the first miracle story. And that's pretty miraculous. I mean, MS is a pretty debilitating disease, and they were telling her she was done. And she's 75 now and vibrant and unbelievably healthy and beautiful. And so, you know, the miracles are there for, they're built into the system. It's mm-hmm. how the body works. The body wants to heal. And it's kind of like when you get everything else out of the way, you will heal. I've had students, you know, the grief that we talked about earlier, a couple of students who've lost children who were really unable to function in their lives and started doing these programs and have come back. One of them is actually training to be a master teacher with me right now. I had a woman who had breast cancer and through surgeries and lost the feeling in her arms, and during the teacher training, the first teacher training that she took with me, the feeling came back in her arms.
Mm.
That was pretty miraculous. We were all we have miracle circles at the end of all our trainings, and we talk about what's transpired, and they go on for a long time because, again, the body wants to heal, and when you give it the tools to heal and you get out of its way, it will heal, and that seems miraculous, even though that's just what we're programmed to do. You don't have to be special to get a miracle. You just have to do a few simple little things and clear the way, clear the path, and stand by and accept it and receive the goodness and give thanks for that. I think receiving that is one of the hardest things for people just to accept.
Yeah. So this is Loretta Brown. My guest today, Lauren Walker, author of The Energy Medicine Yoga Prescription. Lauren's got some great classes coming up. She's got energy medicine yoga teacher training. You need to check it out on her website. Where can people find you, Lauren?
EMYoga.net has everything that you ever wanted to know about yoga, and email to me directly, too, if you want to continue the conversation or you have any questions.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, everybody. Be kind, and look for that silver lining out there. So much love to all of you. Talk to you next time.